This episode of the Blackzit Global Podcast is sponsored by Blackzit Global Passport. Join aspiring Black expats, and repats, where you can build community, get resources, and gain support along your journey abroad. You're invited to join Blackzit Global Passport. Inside Passport, you'll find exclusive workshops on everything from expat taxes, financial planning, insurance, job boards, accountability check-ins, and more. You can even take Passport on the go with our app available for iOS and Android devices. Just click the link in the episode you're listening to or visit blackzitglobal.com and click on Passport. See you inside.
The closet are for clothes, and it was time for us to express who we were and our love for each other. And where could we do that at 2021, 2022, and feel comfortable with all that was going on in, like you said, the political climate, but in the recent changes for both of us in our lives, in our family life?
Close your eyes and imagine living a life you love, unapologetic and unbothered, free from daily microaggressions from Karens and Kens. Free from the fear of police brutality and systemic racism. Wouldn't that feel amazing? Now open your eyes. What if I told you that it's possible? Hear inspiring stories and get the actual blueprints from brothers and sisters of the diaspora who are living out their wildest dreams abroad. You've heard the term, now be inspired by the movement. I'm Krishan Wright, and this is Blackzit Global. Y'all, we are in for a treat in this next episode of the Blackzit Global Podcast. I have Penny and June, the Curries, joining me from Portugal. And we are going to chat about starting over, retired life, rekindlement, and reflection as they join me today. Hello, Penny and June.
Hi, I'm Penny.
And I'm June.
And we are the Curries.
Glad to be here.
Y'all are just so cute. I should have also said in the intro that we are Sangria sisters and AIDS partners. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, we've been having so much fun with one another, and that is why I wanted to have you as guests this season to also share your remarkable journeys here. And now you're both living in Seychelles and enjoying life there, as I can tell. Yes. So I always love to start with backstories, and each one of you has your own. And so I want to give you each time to share whatever you are comfortable with, and we'll dive into our conversation. So who's going first?
So June's pointing at me. So, wow. Now, backstory, how far do you want me to go?
Wherever you're comfortable.
Jeez. Well, I'll start with the whole moving, leaving, and the U.S. and then anything after that, you just go for it and ask me. But as far as June and I, we've known each other 20 years now. Going on 21 years. Yeah. And wow, married
almost 2 years.
2 years. March 13th will be 2 years. And that we'll get to that part. But anyways, 2020, we all know, was very different for the world. And just looking at different options and showing June pictures of Mexico and how people were moving. And I was like, oh, babe, look, see what we could get for, geez, a 2-bedroom apartment. And oh, it was just awesome. And I was getting very little response. So I was, okay, so this is not the time. And I've always looked at different places to live. in terms of, well, actually retiring. And then tragedy hit us 2021, and I'll let June speak on that. That really changed our lives. And at that moment, actually, was when I turned to her and said, well, we've been together all these years. Just really wasn't, we weren't out, but you know what? Let's get married. And I'll let June explain the reasons why we hadn't at that point. And things were changing. Roe versus Wade had changed shortly after that. And being in Texas, we were like, it's time. We're ready to relocate. Well, I started watching Our Rich Journey in early June, and I knew we were going to go to Europe for our honeymoon last year. Yes. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It was last year in September, and we looked at all these places, and oh, my God, we're going to go here. We're going to go there. And we're only going to be here 2 weeks, but June's family and in London, and we visit her cousin also in Germany and her wife. And then we were going to just set off on a train and travel Europe. Well, that didn't happen because I watched a video of Portugal and all that it offered. And I was like, oh, maybe we should go to Portugal. Long story shorter, we ended up in Portugal for 4 days.
Yeah.
And well, actually, before we got here, I started doing a lot of research just so I could ease June into relocating to Portugal. So I'd had videos every day when she got home from work, and it hit all the criteria. First, it was great for same gender loving couples. Two, healthcare. Actually, safety was too. We were wanting some place that we could feel safe, and the lack of gun violence. And if you're in the U.S., the story, so I won't rehash that. And then insurance. So that was just like, okay, this is perfect. So when I got all this information together, and well, the cost of living at that time, it was kind of easy to kind of coax June into it. And then the more we looked at it, looked at the videos, we did so many walking tours online. So by the time we got here, we were like, okay, we like this. And I mean, the orange juice was a good sale too. I mean, I'm sure you know about the amazing orange juice here, especially during the season. And then we took the train to Qashqai's. Well, I don't even know if we got to.
Yeah, we hadn't even made it to Israel yet. We were in love.
Yes. We're like, okay, it's definitely a wrap, which was good because the same day that we left for Europe, we got our fingerprints done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of how things got started for our trip here in terms of retirement. And just for me, I knew that it was getting close. When we got back from our honeymoon, I was at the point where I didn't want to do my markets. And I love doing Miss Penny's Kitchen. And I think I did maybe 2 markets.
Yeah.
And I just told June, it's time. And she was ready for me to retire. But we were ready to go. I was ready to go. And that was how it all started in terms of Portugal anyways.
All right. So I definitely want to probe on that before we go to June. So I love that Portugal was not the original destination, like on your radar. It was just like you kind of stumbled onto it, which I found to be really interesting. And that June was a reluctant spouse. Like, needed to be convinced. I'm like, oh, wow, I did not know that. So when you think about what was going on for you before you made the decision to retire, and you talked about your business, Miss Penny's Kitchen, mm-hmm. and a little bit about what you were doing before that in your professional career, what were some of the things that were going on for you that signaled that you were ready to go? Was it just that you were feeling like you were approaching quote unquote retirement age? Or was it, I know you mentioned some of the changes in the political landscape and the stripping away of rights in the US, but I'm just curious what else might have been like in the background, like telling you that, hey, this isn't the place to be anymore.
I think in my mind, years ago, it was something that I've entertained. And I remember, I think I still had maybe 10, 15 years before retirement. And when you're online, you'll get these different stories. You said, these are 20 places that were great for retirement. And of course, I looked at them and I was like, God, I don't want to live here. I don't want to live there. But I always thought it would be neat to retire somewhere. And I lived in the Northeast. When I was in corporate, I worked for Reebok in research and development. And the Northeast would remind me of the videos that I saw of Europe. As I've been to Canada and Mexico and Caribbean, so Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago. But other than that, that was as much as I've traveled outside of the country. But I always thought New England was pretty cool and to visit Europe, but nothing in stone. And hit retirement. And I think when our life was altered, 21, it was just, well, I knew for sure. And in having the conversation with June, that it was just time, we needed a change. And I just wanted us to be somewhere. We'd gone all these years not out. Early on, both was for religious reasons, then the children. And then I'll let June expound on that a little bit more. But once we were out, and this is for us, and it's no one else, but I'm at that feeling now that the closet are for clothes, and it was time for us to express who we were and our love for each other. And where could we do that at 2021, 2022, and feel comfortable with all that was going on in, like you said, the political climate, but in the recent changes for both of us in our lives, in our family life.
Wow. You hit me there with the closet is for clothes. I'm like, wow, that's deep. Like I'm over here like borderline weeping as I'm hearing you talk about this. Because everybody's moves and everybody's reason for moving is different. And just hearing you talk about getting to a point in your relationship and dealing with the confluence of things, right? Children and religion and those themes, and then ultimately arriving at that point, I have so much respect for both of you, and I'm in awe of the journey and how much you shared thus far. And so I'll turn it over to June to share her origin story.
Okay, well, she did have to do some convincing. She, definitely true. I'm originally from the Caribbean, so I've lived outside of the United States and traveled back and forth to the Caribbean. My mom's from Trinidad and Tobago. My dad's originally from Barbados. I was actually born in Grenada. So I grew up in the U.S., but I'm a Caribbean girl. So the thought of living outside of the U.S. had always crossed my mind. I always used to say, oh, my goodness, I love the water. I could do 6 months in the Caribbean, 6 months in the U.S. when I retire, that type of thing. But it was always a thought. I don't think I ever really thought it was possible to do. So when we visited Mexico and we came back and Penny was talking about, look what we could get in Mexico, I was like, oh, that's cool. But I thought we were just talking. I didn't really think that she was serious about it. And in 2021, as Penny has kind of touched on, the tragedy that happened in our lives. It was September 2021. Actually, it was Labor Day weekend. I got a phone call a little after midnight from my niece saying my oldest son, Preston, had been shot. And that was the turning point that really jarred my life. He, after cooking out with his wife and kids and friends and my daughter, they were in Wichita. They lived in Wichita, Kansas. A couple of his colleagues said, hey, let's go down to this club downtown Wichita and just, you know, hang out for a little bit. Nothing major. So his wife and stayed home with the children. She said, go hang out with your friends. They went down there and they were just hanging out at the club. My daughter was there. My niece, who was pregnant at the time, and her boyfriend visiting from New Orleans because of the storm that was going on there. They were just hanging out, having a good time. And a young man came into the club, someone that they didn't know. But he came into the club. He got into an altercation with someone else in the club. So the security guards escorted him out. Well, according to the video cameras, he left the club, went to the parking lot, went in the trunk of his car, took out a gun, came back to the club, and he stood outside of the club yelling and screaming, yo, you guys are going to regret what you did to me. And he just started shooting outside the club. There were people inside the club, people outside the club, loads of people. It's Labor Day weekend, so everyone's hanging out. And he stood outside the door of the club and just started shooting. Well, my son was literally pushing the door open to go home when he was shot. Eight people were shot, actually, but Preston was the only one that was killed. He pretty much died right there on the spot. By the time paramedics got there, they were trying to bring him back. But that jarred my life. That was my oldest son. We have three boys and a daughter. And at that time, literally, that's when Penny looked, when before we found out that he had actually passed, when we found out about the shooting, she looked at me and she said, let's get married. We've been putting this off too long. And I tell folks all the time that my son changed my life two times. He was my oldest child, so of course my firstborn, that changes your life. There's no way around that. But in his birth and in his death, he changed my life because it made me realize that life was short. And I decided at that moment that I refuse to let anyone or anything dictate my happiness anymore. Nothing else mattered. And in our relationship, like Penny said, we've known each other 20 plus years. We'd been together 18 plus years. And we weren't out to anyone. I was hiding my love for this woman for all those years due to religion. I grew up in a very religious household. Both my parents were pastors. My grandfather was a pastor. Truth be told, I was a licensed evangelist in the Church of God in Christ. So religion was very, very strong in my family, and our relationship was not accepted. So, in my family. So, for all those years, we were the best friends or the sisters, you know.
The sister from another mister.
Yeah, you know. So, we came out to my children the year before. So, my children knew, but I had never talked about it with my family or just came out, period, to anyone. But at the point of my son being killed, life is too short to hide the people that you love. Life is too short to not live your life to the fullest, which is what my son would have wanted. He would have wanted us to live life, be happy. Preston was always laughing and joking. He was like the life of the party type of person. And so that changed our lives. And when Penny started talking about Portugal, about getting out of the country, number one, 6 months after my son was killed, we got married. And I refused to hide my love for her anymore. There was no way in the world that I was going to get ridiculed and talked about, or I can't hold her hand in public because of what other people thought. So if we had to get out of the country for me to be able to do that, let's go. Made sure that the children were secured and their lives and their jobs and so on and so forth. And when she said Portugal, I sat down and watched all the videos, and all the research and everything that she did. And I was like, you know what? Let's go. So before we even landed in Portugal to see what Portugal was like, we had already started the procedure. We'd already gotten our NIFs. We'd already done our fingerprints. We got to Germany and we'd already gotten a relocation lawyer. We got to Germany and she said, when you get to Portugal on Sunday, Monday morning, go get your bank account. We already had that appointment set up. So it was a no-brainer from there. We were ready to get out, start a new chapter in our lives, and be free.
Wow. I first want to start by sharing my deepest condolences for the loss of Preston and your family. And what you said was so poignant, that he changed your life twice.
Yeah.
And it's a testament that out of tragedy, beauty can emerge. And you both made this life-altering decision to come out and to leave the U.S. and start a new chapter here. And so as a couple together, married and fully out. And so what has that been like for you being in Portugal?
I tell you what, when we came in September, our first time stepping foot in Portugal, I remember we went for a walk and we were down
in the pier.
Yeah. And there was, you know, a band was playing. I think it was music. And first of all, we were in awe of just the beauty of everything there, being down there by the water. We're water people. We love the water. And then seeing the families and the couples and the older couples, the younger couples, everyone, it just looked like everyone was just enjoying a beautiful day out. And then the music was going and people were dancing and we saw same gender loving couples holding hands, dancing together. Then we saw two guys and they were kissing each other and no one looked at them like they had lost their mind. No one glared at them evilly, no one that we saw. It was just accepted. It was just like, hey, we're all having a good time. I'm minding my business, you're minding your business. Everyone's just enjoying each other and getting along.
Actually, one gentleman looked over at the guys and said, love is in the air. And just, you know, he turned around and he was hanging out with his friends. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, we were blown away. We were like, okay, this is what we're talking about. Even in my wedding vows, I stated, you know, for 18 years, I've waited and wanted to just scream to the mountaintops of how much I love this woman, and I couldn't do it. And now I can. You just can't top that. Not in my mind. You just can't beat that. I'm just so happy to, after all these years, and in the midst of tragedy, to have a real reason to smile and laugh and meet new people, meeting you all, you and everyone that we've met here, and everyone being fine with me saying, this is my wife.
And that's something that you hadn't been afforded that opportunity before. And I know before that Penny had talked about safety. And obviously, variety of levels, safety as it relates to being open in your relationship, safety as it relates to, you know, the proliferation of guns is not in Portugal. It's very much a U.S. Yeah. disease, really. And it's heartbreaking to know that that has touched your family. And there, I would imagine this sense of relief knowing that being here, you don't have that worry.
Yes, most definitely. The gun violence part, of course, was major because, as we all know, in the U.S., you turn on your TV every day and there's a mass shooting, something going on, a mass shooting somewhere else, mass shooting here or there. And that was hitting too close to home for me. So to be able to come over here and not have to worry about that part, that definitely on top of the safety of same gender marriage and all of that was
equality.
Equality. Yeah. All of that just hit home for me.
Yes. And so since you've been here, you both have turned into these blossoming flowers, each with your own respective areas. Penny with her kitchen, you with your graphic design business. So let's talk a little bit about how you've been able to reemerge, I guess maybe it's the best word that I can think of at this moment, and to blossom into this level of creativity. Whoever wants to take that one.
Well, Penny pointed at me this time. So
you guys are too cute.
I'll go first on that level. JRS Graphic Design was something that was birthed in 2016. Self-taught, basically. I just used, well, I say 2016.
No, yes.
Penny says it goes back a lot further.
2004.
I just fooled around on the computer with graphics. So JRS Graphic Design, the name and everything actually started in 2016. But before that, I just fooled around a lot, putting things together, designs together, so on and so forth. Never really thought it would be a thing, but it became a thing and actually sustained me for quite a while.
And how did it?
In 2016. So it was birthed out of Penny telling me, hey, you got something here. You should do something. I started, she was doing her catering business when she was, this was way before we even, we were just friends. We were just good, had become good friends. And she was trying to put together a menu and she's like, I need a menu. And I was like, well, what do you want on it? And while I was talking to her, I put together this menu for her and then I sent it to her. And she was like, oh, this is cool. You know, where'd you get this? And I said, well, I just made it. And at that point, she's like, you have something here. You have a talent, a gift that you should work on. And once again, that was back in 2003, I think. 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm. I didn't give it much thought. But anyway, fast forward 2016, my youngest son graduated from high school and went off to school. We were empty nesters. And I was trying to think of something to do. And she, hey, you've been designing and doing this. Why don't you maybe do something with it? So she helped birth that in me to get that started. Of course, moving over here, I wasn't really sure that I would pick it back up again. Number one, because I had to sell all of my equipment to move to Portugal. I couldn't bring all the heat presses and all the this and that and everything with me, because it would have been too expensive to bring over. So I'm starting back slowly here. Done a few t-shirts and hoodies and apparel for some folks here. And just looking to, you know, to get it back started up as I can. Purchase equipment as it comes along. And maybe start that back up over here. Maybe not on the scale that I did in the States. But you never know. We'll see. And that's just basically where I am now. It can't let the gift die, so grateful for it, and we'll see where it goes from there.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And Penny, you've been cooking up some culinary delights, so tell us about that.
Wow, okay. Oh, so slight backstory. And I realized this when June said that she was from the Caribbean, but I am a native Texan, so... After moving to Virginia when June was sick, 2 years we were there, we came back to Texas. My mom was sick at the time, and I had already planned on coming back. And so we ended up back in Texas. And for me, I had started cooking in my early 20s. I think, well, really had to when I got my first apartment. And it was just something that I was always around. I do have step-siblings, but I grew up as an only child. So my grandmother and my great aunt and my mom all lived in the same neighborhood. So someone was always cooking. It wasn't me, but I was always at someone's house at all the holidays, especially when I was a young adult. And after I'd moved out, I'd always ask, well, what can I bring? What can I bring? And they would be like, just bring whatever you're drinking. For years in my own place, I've started cooking a little bit. And finally, one year I asked my grandmother, I said, well, Granny, I mean, why don't you guys ever ask me to bring anything? Because when our family would get together, each home would bring different items for the celebrations. And my grandmother, love her dearly, no filter. Well, baby, we want to enjoy it. So we just have you bring whatever you're drinking. In other words, you don't cook. So I was a little offended, but she was correct. So after that year, I really took my cooking seriously. And I guess the year before I moved to Massachusetts, I got to cook Thanksgiving dinner. And that was the most amazing time. And it was actually the last time I did a huge dinner for my family before my mother and my great aunt passed. So Miss Penny's Kitchen actually started then. And even when I was in college, people would come over and ask, what's in Miss Penny's Kitchen? So by the time I got to Boston, it was a thing. And then I had started in 2009. I had started Miss Penny's Kitchen and was so excited because the first item I ever sold was my sweet potato pie. And I would do, when I worked at Reebok and you have potlucks and things, I would bring my pies or some type of dessert. So it was getting some play and people wanted me to bring the dessert. So that's kind of how that got started. And I thought when I moved back to Texas that I would get it up and going. And I got back to Texas from the East Coast. People found out that I used to coach high school and college basketball, and Miss Penny's Kitchen got put on the shelf. Started coaching again and started my own club sport, coaching basketball. And wasn't until 2016, actually, yeah. Like when June said, the youngest, Spencer, went off to school. I was like, okay, what will I do? What will I do? And I remember telling June, I think I'm ready to do Miss Penny's Kitchen. I think this is it. And just started putting some things together that were some of the favorite items of the kids growing up, of my customers that I had back in Massachusetts, and a neighbor. Oh, no, the boys told me there was a, at their school, they had like a Christmas market. And that was actually the first show that I did, and did this Christmas market and sold out in an hour. And in my mind, I had tons of product, so much so that I had to leave there, go back and prepare more desserts. While June took orders, and they were already sold by the time I got back with them. So I knew for sure that Miss Penny's Kitchen was definitely going to happen. And it just kind of evolved more. I'd been making barbecue sauces prior to then, which ended up being one of my top sellers. So I have like gourmet barbecue sauces. What would you say the hot top? Sauce. Oh, yes. I have my own hot sauces, a sweet potato fire hot sauce. And the number one seller, would you say?
The banana pudding.
So I thought, well, when we get to Portugal, I know that I'm not going to want to do the full scale because you retired. Yes, because I retired. Krishan, I'm telling you, when I would do these markets, I would have, and I did my, all of my desserts were in a jar. So I'd always have no less than 4 to 5 pound cakes, like seven to eight cases of banana pudding, cheese, cobblers. I always had at least five cobblers and pies.
Barbecue sauce, hot sauce.
Yes. You name
it. It was a lot.
So I knew that I didn't want to do that scale here. And got here, and the plan was to take a year off and really just kind of get my feet on the ground. And got here, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get started. And, of course, the cobblestones had a different timeline for me starting. And if you understand Portugal cobblestones, yeah, one of them jumped up and tripped me. So had a little spill and a little setback. But actually, that setback was a setup for a comeback. So starting to get back in the kitchen, which has been super excited. And can't wait to have you over to Seychelles for a little bit of Miss Penny's Kitchen.
Oh, you know I'm there because I was out the other night and Nicole told me about the curry lentils. I was like, wait, what? Clearly, I need to get on the ferry today.
You just let us know. The door is always open.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. And I just love how you both encourage one another with each of your respective talents and skills. It's like this, hey, you seeing and being a mirror, right? And sometimes we can't see our own gifts. We can't see our own uniqueness at times.
Yes.
And it takes somebody willing to hold that mirror up to you for you to say, oh, wait, hold on, I got something here. And it's funny, it's like how your family didn't want you to bring food, but that wound up being a catalyst for you to create this remarkable business that now you have the opportunity, if you choose, to flex at your leisure. So I'm curious, because when we met, when I first arrived to Portugal, and since then, you both have moved. So now that you're more settled in Seychelles, be interesting, because people talk about Lisbon, people talk about Porto, and some of the other cities like Cascais or Coimbra, but little is known about just right over the water. So tell us a little bit about what life is like in Seychelles.
Wow.
Peaceful.
Yes.
Seychelles is a little fisherman's town, is what it was. We used to be seen as literally just across the river. Ferry ride takes all of maybe 15 to 18 minutes to get across. And then you're right in the center of Lisbon, in the heart of Lisbon. But the difference is much slower, more relaxed. We step outside on the balcony all the time, and I say all the time, listen, what do you hear? It's like, it's so quiet. And we love that.
Yeah.
We love that quietness. Lisbon is great. There's so much to do in Lisbon. Lisbon's a small town jam-packed with so much activity and so much to do.
Small city.
It's a small city. But when you want the relaxation of just being able to sit out on the balcony and just enjoy the sky, enjoy the stars, enjoy the peace and quiet, the breeze. I think we found that in Seychelles.
Yeah.
You know, even more so. You know, where we were in Lisbon, in Alvalade, it was quiet. You know, we weren't in down in Lisbon proper, city center. It was quiet, but I didn't think it could get quieter, and it did.
I think we thought it was quiet, because we were definitely in the heart of probably Alvalade and not far from the airport. Mm-hmm. And we could hear the planes leaving, but it wasn't massive. Mm-hmm. Until we moved to Seychelles. Now we hit a whole different level of peacefulness, except for when Benfica is playing. Their practice stadium is literally across the street from our condo. And every now and then they have something going on. It'll hear the people cheering, which is amazing to us, just to hear the fans out. And we actually have another soccer or football arena that's close or feels. And that's been pretty cool. But to be able to look out the balcony and see the river and look to the left and see parts of the community, which we did not have access to in Avalon because we were on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing, the community here. And there was great community in Avalon, but here it seems to be, I guess, close-knit, and maybe because we're out more.
Yeah, yeah.
And great restaurants.
Yeah, it's just a really nice area. You know, the cost of living is less, a little less over here in Majum Sul. But it's just, it's different. And, you know, of course, like you said, everyone comes over, they hear Lisbon. So they just, they're looking at Lisbon and things around the surrounding cities. But I don't think, we never thought we'd end up across the river.
Well, no. Not until we started looking.
Yeah.
And we knew someone else who actually, her and her wife are here. And we decided, let's just take a look. And then, of course, meeting you and Nicole at Continent was a game changer. Because we had started looking at Seychelles. We started looking at apartments because Soko had told us about it. Mm-hmm. And then having the conversation with Nicole, I mean, Nicole gets going and we're just like, okay, we got to make this happen. And next thing I know, we come over, she's showing us around, and here we are.
Nicole's like the unofficial spokesperson for Seychelles.
Oh, yes, yes, she is.
Definitely.
They need to be cutting her a check.
They do. Yeah. They do.
I'll probably be the next transplant. I don't know. I'm still mulling it over.
Yes. Well, once you get here for dinner, it's on.
I believe it. So you were talking about how you've been settling in the restaurants and the people and the laid back, as well as the easy access to Lisbon. I'm curious, with the time that you've been here so far, how have you been adjusting to the language? And is it easier for you now that you're in Seychelles or have had more time, or do you still find it a little harder? Because I know, like in Lisbon, at least for me, I can get by pretty well without speaking Portuguese, but just curious how it's been in Seychelles.
I think it's, there's no difference. I know some, I know some Portuguese. When I hear it, I can understand it a little bit more than I can speak it. But of course, once I learn my niece, when I go out and they're asking for it, and I'm excited because I do it in Portuguese. And they're excited because we are Americans and they can practice their English. So I'm like, Portuguese or English? And they were like, oh, no, English, English. And I'm like, but I want to practice my Portuguese, even though it's just numbers. So I think it's been easy. And one of our favorite restaurants, they all speak English.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Definitely have to take you. It's a 3-star Michelin star restaurant. So
yeah, it's easy over here. The same as Lisbon, pretty much.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about whether you can speak the language or understand the language. Still a lot of the English speakers over here. So I don't personally feel like there's been any difference or anywhere. Yeah. We haven't been anywhere where someone couldn't communicate or we couldn't communicate with someone, even with our
one neighbor,
our lack of knowledge of Portuguese. We're learning. We've taken the class and we're going to take it again because the Portuguese language is, as they say, muito difícil. It's very difficult. So we're steady practicing and learning and going to continue to, so we can adapt to our environment. But there's no lack of English speaking over across the river.
And Krishan, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm learning. June is much better at it. And she doesn't give herself credit. but she understands it better and she speaks it. So I'm very proud of you, babe.
Okay, you can edit that part out.
Y'all are so cute. Oh my gosh, you are so cute. So before we wrap, I want to talk a little bit about, because you know, y'all just ball of cuteness over there. I want to talk about and bring it back full circle a bit to family, because there's been an evolution, I guess I would say, right? From starting off your relationship and religion and family, and then also ultimately tragedy, and then the beauty that emerged from that. So now that you're in Portugal, how have you been able to maintain family ties? And now that you are completely out, how has that been for you, particularly with the distance between you and your family that's in the States?
Well, I will tell you that when we decided after Preston was killed, and we decided, you know what, forget what everybody else thinks. Preston was killed in September. October 11th is National Coming Out Day. And we made it our business that on that day, we were going to let the world know. And we did a post on Facebook, and it was cute. We simultaneously pressed post at the same time, and it was like, okay.
On each of our pages.
Yeah, on each of our pages. Okay, let's just see what's going to happen. But before that, my main concern was my mom. My dad passed a few years back, and so my main concern was my mom, and that was one of the reasons why we hadn't come out sooner. I just didn't know how it would affect her and how she would feel and so on and so forth. But once again, after Preston died, it was like, oh, no holds barred as far as I was concerned. And after talking with her and my siblings, my mom, 85 years old, and, you know, she was like, well, you know what? She says, basically, who am I to judge? She says, I can't say whether it's right or wrong. I know what we've been taught. But she said, it's not for me to judge. She says, I love you. I love Penny. She says, and I'm going to be at the wedding. And that was all it took for me. That's all I needed. Lots of relatives that were still very opposed to it, and some who were fine with it. And I wasn't really worried about them. They lived their lives. I was going to live mine. And so can I tell you, Krishan, that no one danced at my wedding more than my mother did. She got out there on her little cane and was dancing around. Next thing I know, I looked up, she had thrown the cane. She literally threw her cane.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she literally threw her cane over to the table and was just out there dancing. And that just made my heart full, because my mom is everything. And for my mom to accept our relationship just meant the world to me. So I had my children were on board, my mom was on board. My youngest brother, who was the carrying on the minister of the family, he was on board. My older two siblings, they loved Penny. They weren't too keen on the whole marriage part or the whole, but they loved Penny. So that's all that really mattered to me. Everybody else, care less whether you like it or not. Once again, and I meant it when I said no one was going to dictate my happiness for me anymore. So they accepted the marriage, kind of shook them for a little bit when we said we're moving to Portugal. But then, you know, they came around with that too very quickly, very, very quickly. And now mom's like, well, maybe I'll visit Portugal. Maybe I'll come over, see you guys. The kids are going to be coming over next year, and everything's great. Life is beautiful.
In my family, my story is a little different. My first coming out was my sophomore year in college. And, well, to my dad, my mom. Yeah, no, and my mom. Because my mom asked me earlier that year. And then I actually told my dad. And my family was just very supportive, except for my mom at first. And my mom was not very happy. And asked me if I'd tell my grandmother because I was really close. And I said, no, but I want to be the one to tell her. And of course, she said, okay. But obviously, she wasn't okay with it because the same day she went over to my grandmother and said, oh, you think so much of your granddaughter. And she was upset and yelling, and my grandmother stopped her. And I tell you, grannies are everything. My grandmother said, listen, I already know. I've seen it on Phil Donahue. This is how far she goes back. I've seen it on Phil Donahue, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you might as well love her for who she is. And that just opened up the door for me to be who I felt like I was at that time. And my dad's an artist, or was an artist, or it still is an artist. He's passed, but my dad has always raised me to be the best me, whatever that was. And so I've always had the love and support. And then after a year, my mom came around. And so my immediate family knew. I wasn't out because that was early 80s. So, but I always had the support of my immediate family. And it wasn't until, I think, 2001, I felt like my life was changing. So I rededicated my life, got into ministry. And so I was not in the life. And I shared that with my family. And I remember talking to my mom and telling her, Mom, you know, well, I'm not in this relationship anymore. And this is where I am. And to hear my mom, who was so negative in her comments, when she asked me if I was a lesbian, and I said yes, and she asked. And to have her tell me, when I told her I am not in the life anymore, and she said, don't do this for me. She said, you are who you are. You can't change it. It's just not something you can just say, okay, you turn it off. I was, as our youngest say, I was shooketh. And it was almost something in me at that time, and I'm just feeling this, that it would have been perfect just to be who I was, but I really felt that there was a difference for me at that time. So going back, and I won't even say going back in the closet, because I wasn't in any relationship. And then probably 3-4 years later, after being best friends with June, and then 2 years after that, starting this relationship, but starting it in the closet. And I think your parents know, and my mom knew, but even though I didn't introduce June as my girlfriend or partner, because she wasn't. But you just feel something. And even my dad was like, how's June and the kids? And how are you guys doing? And I'm thinking, we're fine. Then they just knew. So when we announced it, my family was like, well, it's about time. So it was just, the timing was difficult to come out because of everything that had transpired on Labor Day. But it was beautiful, I think, for both of us, for our families. And my dad passed the month before we got married. And June kept saying she wanted to get up to ask him, was it okay for my hand in marriage? And it was so crazy. We never had the time. So at our wedding, and we had 6 months to plan a full-fledged wedding. It was insane. But at the wedding, when they asked who gives this right away, and my brother was standing in for my dad. Well, my brother and June's boys were clowning around at the rehearsal the day before. So when they ask him, he's just standing there. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not the time for you to be clowning around. And I'm looking at him, and my sister-in-law, who was my matron of honor, was pointing up at the screen. My brother had asked my dad to do a video. They recorded him giving me away. And of course, there was not a dry eye in the building. So our relationship is so out on blast. And the community that we have experienced here in Portugal has been absolutely amazing. And if you're doing the straight and gay friends, I think we have more straight friends.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't feel like it's a straight or gay thing. When we hang out with
everybody,
we're just friends. And that's how it should be.
Yeah.
And I will end it with that.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all get me all emotional over here.
Oh, no.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And so much so that I hate to start to bring it to a close. But I would love to know, as we close, what do you both see as the next, I don't know if it's not the next chapter because you're in the chapter, but I guess maybe what are you looking forward to most in this new chapter?
As the pages turn, I think I'm still working. I'm not retired. I'm still working. I'm working for a company here in Portugal. And I just want to enjoy as much time as I can with my wife. Secret fantasy, let me buy a lottery ticket and win it so I can travel all over Europe with my wife and not have to worry about working. I want to be wherever she is. And being able to have her enjoy her retirement and me be able to enjoy it with her. Man, this is probably the best chapter in the book of life that I've had since having my children and marrying her. I'm meeting awesome people. It's just been unbelievable, the community that we talk about here that we've met so far in Portugal. You guys are awesome. And as each page turns, I want to meet new people. I want to see the world more. I want to enjoy life and dictate my own happiness. That's me.
Ditto.
I love that. I love that. I couldn't have asked for a better way to wrap up this conversation. I want to thank you both for being so transparent in your conversation with me today. I loved every minute of this conversation. You both are amazing people. I'm so blessed to have you in my friend circle. And I know that anyone listening to this episode, I know will be as moved, if not more so than I. So I just want to give my heartfelt gratitude to you.
Well, thank you so much for having us and just the friendship, but the information, the wealth of knowledge that you share on your podcast, on your YouTube summit. Thank you. Thank you.
We are honored.
Oh, thank you.
You're amazing.
You are too. I love this.
Thank you for listening to the Blacksit Global Podcast. For more information on today's episode, be sure to visit our website at blacksitglobal.com. It's not only possible to live out your dreams unbothered and in full color, it is your birthright. Are you trying to sort out health plans, banking, VPN, and other connectivity for your move abroad? Well, have no fear. We've got you with the Move Abroad Starter Kit. Get yours today at blacksitglobal.com/resources. That's blacksitglobal.com/resources.